I'm pretty excited to talk to you today about some of the work I've been doing. A lot because that means I'm nearing the end of a very long journey with this research. It's been very good, but I've learned the meaning of hard work in all this and how important it is to have other people's help. So I'll just start with that. We've harvested close to 8,000 plants for this research. Today, I only have the data, though, from the first half of that, from the first year. And so we're going to be talking about a generation means analysis of fiber length and strength from some pretty unique pools of germplasm where we can find fiber quality, those being extra-long staple uplands like Ben just talked about. We actually have one of the mutated uplands that the Texas Tech group was talking about, and then also some interspecific hybrids that Dr. Haig released a sister line to one of my parents. And so we're going to take a look at that. And as we've talked about, the rationale behind why length and strength is so important is because of what they're used for with fibers, and that is how quality of a textile can it produce. We use fiber quality parameters as an indirect selection method because it's obviously not possible to spin individual plants into a yarn and to test that. So there are studies that have shown that in the different spinning platforms, rotor being a very fast, very labor efficient, produces a pretty low quality yarn though. Strength is the most important fiber quality parameter. Then fineness, then length. And because it is a labor-efficient system, this is what's traditionally been used in the U.S. in the last three or four decades or so, and thus the breeding objectives in the U.S. have focused on that. However, as several have made comment, we're becoming more of an export industry for the U.S., and thus we have to meet international needs, which on the international basis, ring spinning is by far dominant to rotor spinning. So we need to adjust our breeding objectives to fit the needs of a ring spinning platform, which is length first, then strength, and then finally fineness. If you haven't ever pulled a staple of cotton, here's a picture of some pretty extremes with a mediocre in the middle. On the far left, there is a Pima, almost an inch and a half. I'd love to be able to walk out into an F3 nursery and pull a staple like that. That is an Egyptian cotton, Gossypium barbadense. In the middle is Gossypium hirsutum, an upland type of about an inch and an eighth long, and a rather short one on the right, about 7/8 of an inch. When you're looking at strength, the fiber gets its strength mainly from secondary wall development, which this would be one that's relatively mature. So what we're talking about in secondary wall is how much that straw, so to speak, that fiber has filled in. As compared to, say, this one, this is pretty immature, has very little cellulose deposition. So this fiber is going to tend to be very weak. It's going to break. It's going to cause entanglements. It's not going to die very well as in comparison to a fiber such as this. And so as you can see, there's probably multiple genes that are affecting both of these traits. Thus, it merits the need to try to get an idea of how they are inherited and the genetic components that add to them. So as I mentioned, there are some different sources that we're looking at, the mutation lines. Then there's interspecific crosses. In our case, we crossed uplands with some sea island material from New Mexico. New Mexico sea island 1331, I believe, is the common parent used. And then we also have interspecific, where we crossed upland by upland, and we're reaching the minimum levels for Pima types, the ELS trait that has been worked on by Dr. Smith over the last decade or so. So the objectives of my study are to determine the gene effects for cotton fiber length and strength among the selected parents, and then also to take a look at the transgressive segregation that can be observed in an F2 population for those populations that we created. We used one Texas A&M ELS line, one mutated line of 94L25, one experimental line that was developed through interspecific hybridization, one high-strength upland line, and then finally one modern cultivar with moderate quality. In the cases that you'll see today, it's the lowest quality parent included in the study, Tamcott 22. And this just the HVI, upper half mean length and strength for the parents included. The ISH, ELS, and the mutant lines were all selected on their high links. This parent was included for its high strength. And then, as I mentioned, Hamcot 22 has the lowest quality among these parents, but still it's a pretty okay for upland for an upland type. So the materials and methods we included, if you're unfamiliar with generation means, you have six generations, those including the parent one, parent two, the cross between those, which is the F1, you self the F1, get the F2, and then you make a back cross to each of the parents. And so you have six generations there. We did this in a dilithium scheme, so we made all possible combinations between the five parents without reciprocals. So that comes to 10 families that we were looking at. The families were grown in a split plot design within a larger RCBD with four replications. And then we harvested individual plants. So we took 25 bowls per plant or the whole plant, whichever we came to first. And we were hoping to get across all reps for each generation, 12 plants for the parent 1, parent 2, and F1, 200 for the F2, and 76 for each of the back crosses. Unfortunately, because of stand establishment or productivity of each individual plant, we weren't able to achieve that, but that's what we were aiming for. So the results for the fiber length, what we're looking at here are the means for each of the generations among seven of the combinations, combination up here on the top, and then the generations down the left. And a lot of data here, just the bigger picture is that there are differences between generations. And then what I highlighted here, I just found interesting, we're seeing some heterosis. Heterosis being where the F1 outperforms both of its parents. And so in these two pretty unique combinations, the interspecific by the mutant line, interspecific by the ELS, we did see some heterosis, which preliminarily shows us that we can make improvement in these populations. And moving to the gene effects, on the left side, I have listed the parental combination, the same combinations that we were looking at the previous slide. And then across the top are the potential components adding to the genetic effects. M standing for the mean, A for additive gene action, D for dominance, and then these three are the interactions between additive and dominance. And I selected these so that we could kind of see the array of the different data we're looking. For the ISH by the mutant parent, the mean explained sufficiently all of the data. The ISH by the ELS was way out there. It did all sorts of weird stuff in comparison to the rest of the combinations. A very huge dominant gene effect. We see some additive by additive, no additive alone, and then a negative additive by dominance. And so still need to dig into the data to try to understand and wrap my mind around what this population is doing. But on the onset, with such a large dominant effect, I would suggest that in these populations, we would want to self them down a little bit to where we're hopefully getting to homozygosity, and we won't be selecting heterozygous plants thinking they're homozygous, and then they'll begin to segregate in the following generations. And then I included all the sources of fiber quality with TAMCOT 22 just to kind of give us an idea of what that looks like. And in this case, with the ELS, the mean and additive gene action was sufficient to describe the variation we were seeing. Here, we had a little bit of an interaction occurring. This one, additive and dominance was relatively equal. And in this case, additive was a much major source of variation, but we're still observing some dominance. And so both additive and dominance at play for fiber length, some of the interactions are occurring here, and it is very specific to the combination that we're looking at. Moving to transgressive segregation, I pulled the data for one of my combinations just to try to describe real quick what, if you're unfamiliar with transgressive segregation. In the top graph, we have the I've categorized their lengths of each individual plant according to the scale down here, and these are in inches. And then along the y-axis are the number of plants that fell into that category. So this here, the kind of light pink, is the distribution for the unfavorable parent, TAMCOT 22. Here's the distribution for the high strength, which is the favorable in this combination, their F1 and then the F2. And so transgressive segregation is defined as those plants that are extreme to either of its parents or the F1 performance. And so they are either underperform or outperform the three other generations. And here we have the percentages. I've broken it down into two groups, positive transgressive segregation as those that outperform the parents in F1, negative as those that underperform. And in the first three combinations, this is more like what you expect. Some transgressive segregation occurring in both directions for the most part. But then we get down to this combination, and it's much larger. And so I don't know if the way that I was calculating transgressive segregation is off a little bit. This is much higher than I would expect. So I need to go back to the data analysis and just double check. But it does appear that we would be able in this population to select for a higher length than what both of the parents exhibited, which is exciting to me because it's a high-strength parent, which most likely means that we can also select for high strength at the same time in this population. So for fiber strength, we'll look at the same set of slides as we did for length. You'll note here there is no heterosis in either the F1 or either back cross populations. They were both intermediate to the two parents, but there were differences between generations. With the exception of this population, the F2 mean outperformed everything else. So there again, I'm not real sure exactly what to do with that, but it was an interesting thing to highlight. The gene effects for HVI strength were much more to be expected than what we saw in that one population for upper half mean length. We did see significant additive gene action in all cases. We saw some dominance down here in this case. It was actually negative gene effect. And so, but once again, in these three populations, you probably want to wait and self it down a couple generations so that you're sure to not be selecting heterozygous plants. And again, transgressive segregation, but we saw even more extremes for HVI strength than we did for upper half mean length, reaching up to 58% for positive, 42% in this population. And what even draws some more concern that I need to go back and get back to the data and just double check is how unbalanced they are between positive and negative. And so this may just be an artifact of how I analyze the data, and I may need to go back and clean that up a little bit. But some conclusions that we can draw, additive gene effects were predominant in three of the six populations. In one of the populations, additive and dominance was relatively equal. Dominance was predominant in that one ISH population. And finally, our positive transgressive segregation for upper half mean length ranged from 0 to 21%. For strength, additive was predominant in one of the four populations we were looking at. Additive and dominance relatively equal in one of them. And our positive transgressive segregation ranged from 0 to 58%. So with that, I'd like to thank Cotton Incorporated Fellowship Program, Texas Department of Ag, Food and Fiber Program, and all the people that put in many, many long hours helping me pick all those IPs and gen the data, gen those samples. I really appreciate all the help. So with that, I'd be happy to field any questions you may have. I explained the data that well, huh? Yes, Rosa.
Something that you didn't talk about.
Go ahead.
Well, you have some F3 in the field, right?
Yes.
Did you look at how your data from the GMA may translate into what you find in the F3?
I plan to. I planted those. I didn't have the fiber data back yet. All I had were lint percent, so I selected those based on that, and I tried to select the best lint percents from each population in general. I was really excited to see some of the yield performance of some of those. Unfortunately, the best fiber quality were not the best producers. And so, but there is some that have improved fiber quality and pretty good yield. So I'm excited to be able, now that I have all of the fiber data back, and to hopefully as soon as I get these gen and in from the F3 populations, hopefully I'll be able to look at that and see if we've made some progress in getting higher lengths and some high-producing lines. So in a couple of cases, I would say that we performed as well or better than the check that I had sitting next to it. And so for me, that was exciting. But once again, the interspecific hybrid populations, they are very variable. The fiber data is exciting, but it's very depressing when you go to look at it on a yield basis. I mean, they are just all over the place. But I think they have a lot of potential. So, yes, Dr. Alden.
Joy, were your length and strength measured off of HBI or single instrument?
It was all HBI. To run the number of IPs, the number of samples that we were looking at, HBI was the only option.
So you're much too young to have done that.
I'm hoping Ng's data aligns well so that we can say that the HBI is a good source. But yes, it is all HBI data. I did on length. We did a diallele with these parents plus some more, and we ran both HBI and APHIS, and the results are pretty comparable to each other, as would be expected, with some pitfalls of some different populations being pointed out by APHIS that HBI can't recognize. So. Other questions? I think my time's out. Appreciate y'all listening.